Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, we'd like to thank you for tuning in to the World Boxing Review Radio Show. My name is Aaron Snowell, and they call me the Hall of Fame Trainer of Champions. This is our second show in the new year, and it's always a fight to the finish line, but Bob Murray, live from Pottsville, Pennsylvania, taking us on another magic carpet ride. Bob Murray, welcome into the World Boxing Review Radio Show.
Hi, Liz. Good morning, Aaron. Wow, already crazy year. Yeah, should be in Atlantic City. We're planning on going down. There's car trouble again, man. Hopefully it's all out of the way now, because every time we turn around, something's going. But that's good now. But anyway, we're able to not really get down there last night to Atlantic City. But they had some good action down there. You know, we have to start off by saying congratulations to Clarissa Shields. Won a big win over Ivana Habazin last night to take the WBC and the WBO World Female Super Welterweight crowns and made history that we've been talking about the last couple of weeks. The youngest to ever hold three different division championships, too. So a good fight there last night. Plus, a lot of good action, too. Jerron Ennis out of Philly. He had a big win over Eubob, another big knockout. He's 25-0 now with 23 KOs. And also congratulations to Ellen Sigurus from Sweden. She had a big unification fight last night with Alicia Napoleon Espinosa, and Federer won that fight to claim the WBA and the IBF World Super Middleweight belts as well, too. So, also a good heavyweight fight last night, too. The big Russian Aptiv Gakayev knocked out Keith No Holds Barred, and we got to see the Bonas twins last night, too. Jacob and Joseph both improving on their undefeated records, too. So, big fight tonight also. Happening, but yeah, we'll get to that in just a second. But any comments on last night then, the fight with Shields? She looked good.
Yeah, well, Shields looks good. She looked strong. She was throwing bombs. It was like bombs away. She was using a overhand right because the person she was fighting was a little Iva was a little bit taller than her, so she was using overhand right, but she dominated every round from round one. Maybe in the middle rounds there was a little something that went on where she threw her through the ropes, but you know, but it was Shields and more Shields and more Shields. At time, Shields just she knocked her down with a body
right.
shot,
yes.
Which was really, really something. You know, Shields is, you know, as many fights as she has, she looks strong, and she got to work on getting more snap on her punches, and if she gets some more snap on her punches, maybe she'll have that snap crackle and pop on her punches, Bob. But anyway, you know, those are things a trainer looks at for to keep a fighter's mind, to keep them improving, and those things that she wants to learn how to fight a better fight, learn how to do better things. That's what keeps you on top of the mountain. When you stop wanting to practice, when you stop wanting to learn, the climb is right around the corner. But it seems like she's in this spirit of taking on new challenges, even so fast, so quick to make boxing history. She's accomplished a lot of things from, you know, the Olympic gold medal and becoming a champion like this. So it's an ongoing process when you're a champion. You never can be happy with your last performance. And when you become happy with your last performance, the seat is right around the corner. And it looked like what she was talking about at the end of the fight, that she's willing to improve, Bob. So
right.
that's a good
yes.
thing. And there's other challenges, other fights out there for her. So taps off to that. And the young lady from Sweden, I mean, she came out. She opened up. Man, she was tattooing the young lady up, but hey, she fought very, very well, you know.
Yes.
People who didn't know who she was, she definitely made a hit last night, you know, because she looked good. You know what I mean?
Right, absolutely, yes. And I think Espinoza didn't know what was coming at her, it looked like, sometime there. She definitely took her by surprise, I think, too.
Absolutely. And, you know, there was a lot of good fights at the card. And Henry Haskop, our boxing historian, he was there with a bunch of kids, his grandchildren and everything like that, you know, at the fight. So it looks like they had a good time. Maybe he had call in the day, you know, this ain't his time that he's normally on. But if he's listening, you know, call in and give us a little rundown of what he's seen from his perspective. But the kids were there, and they were screaming and yelling. You could hear them. So there was a lot of noise in the house. And congratulations to all of them. It was nothing but class from the New Jersey Boxing Commission. They controlled what happened in Michigan. They really took all of that nonsense out of the game. Like Mr. Commissioner Larry Hazard said, is that it's about professionalism. And when you enter the state of New Jersey, Mr. Hazard is a class act. It don't get better than that. He doesn't stand for that nonsense. He takes control over what's going on, what they're doing in the great state of New Jersey. And boy, oh boy, you could tell the presence of that. You know, even, you know what, that was funny. You had women who were judging the fight. And also you had a woman referee who's very good. Lynn Carter, who was judging the fight, excellent judge. She's judged a lot of men's fights for years. I remember Lynn when she was just getting started, Lynn Carter. And they did an excellent job last night. So to see the professionalism of what you need in a big event like this was terrific. See that.
Right, we even mentioned earlier about how Larry Hazard stopped that fight there with Ennis when he was just pounding away on Ivanov, told him, you know, before the round that he had to get it together, he was stopping it, and he didn't, and he stopped it. You know, that's, again, that's what Larry Hazard does.
If Larry Hazard, he has great professionals working with him, and sometimes, you know, we all have an off night, and if you see that your professional that has control of the ring in there, if he's missing something, it's his duty as the commissioner sitting at ringside is to bring it to his attention. And that's what Larry Hazard did. You know, he seen that the guy wasn't doing nothing, he wasn't going to do nothing, and Larry Hazard wasn't punching or anything. Larry Hazard went up there and told him, say, look, you got one more round. He said, I'll give you a chance for one more round, and you don't do something, that's going to be it. And that's professionalism, you know.
Absolutely, yeah.
And you know, when that kind of stuff, when people don't give guys the better chance, if he has a plan and it's not working, it gives them a chance, if he had a backup plan, to shift the backup plan in and go for what you know. You know what I mean? And,
and
that's why, you know, you do such a thing like that. And right then last night, that was the call, Bob. It was a good call at the right time.
Right time, yes.
Yeah, it's always better one punch too soon and one punch too late. And when the one punch too late happens, and then all kind of other things get read into it. But that last night was a terrific call. I mean, it was just great performance of officiating, judges, fighting, the whole bit, the venue, the promotions, and it was second to none. Very professional, and that's what happens when you come into a state that's used to having the big ones. When you come into a state like New Jersey is used to the big mega fights, they know how to handle all the hype, they know how to handle all the antics,
They know how to handle the fight talk. They know the fighters and all that. And you could see the professionalism of an experienced commission. And that's what we were talking about before, Bob, how experienced this commission was. You know what I mean?
Right.
Before, and when it was in Michigan, and we said if this happened in we'll go to New Jersey, you wouldn't see all of that clowning around, and you didn't.
Right. He
took it right out of the play. So, you know, and that's a good thing. And if you look around, one thing I can say about Mr. Hazard, you know, you can look around. Yeah, there's maybe, you know, city police, but there's other police that he has sitting all around. And people just don't know, but they're not going to feel uncomfortable thinking it's a police state. And they want it's entertainment, and they want people to have a good time. But trust me, there was other officers sitting around in that arena that anything happened, they were, you know, that's what Mr. Hazard does. He's a true, true professional. And hats off to the promotion and everything. But guess what, Bob? You know, there's always something. Atlantic City is on the mark. It's on the move for 2020 with two fights back-to-back on national television, giving Atlantic City the exposure that they want. And, you know, Showtime, two big networks back-to-back. Last night it was Showtime. And tonight, Bob, it's ESPN. Isn't that something with Bob Irwin?
Yes, indeed. And we can go around the world now, too. Let's start there. That's great. Yeah, so we're talking about the Marquis Edis Arena, the Hard Rock Hotel and Casino in Atlantic City, New Jersey, USA. Tonight we feature Jesse Hart out of Philadelphia, 26-2, 21 knockouts, taking on Joe Smith Jr. out of New York City, 24-3, 20 KOs. Got a little Philly, New York action going on tonight. Also, Steve Nelson, 15-0, 12 knockouts versus Ken Killick, 14-0, 9 knockouts. And that's for the vacant WBO-NABO super middleweight title. We also have 14-0 with 12 KOs lightweight, Joseph Adorno. He's out of New Jersey. He lives now in Allentown, right down the road here. And he's stepping in with Hector Garcia of Mexico, who comes in with a 14-7-3 record, along with 8 knockouts. Then we go out to San Antonio, Texas now for DAZN, where they're going to be covering undefeated Jaime Munguia, who's 34-0, 27 knockouts. He's crossing the ropes with Gary O'Sullivan out of Ireland, 30-3, 21 knockouts. That's a big middleweight showdown to see who's going to go, where Munguia is going to go from here, too, for O'Sullivan. So, also a big co-main event down there. Also, Franchon Cruz DAZN. She's 6-1. Her only loss was to Clarissa Shields, and that was in DAZN's actual debut as a pro. So she's an up-and-coming fighter. She's defending her WBC World and WBO World female super middleweight crowns against the challenger Alejandra Jimenez, who's 12-0-1 with 9 knockouts out of 13 fights, which is a pretty impressive record for the young lady. Also, we have 16-0, 12 knockouts, super welterweight Travel Mazion battling Fernando Castaneda, and he's 26-13-1. And USA Fight Night will be in Louisville, Kentucky, covering the Jun Jin Chao 5-0 versus Muhammad Adams super middleweight boxing feature on that program. And then we take a trip now down to Mar del Plata, Buenos Aires, Argentina, with Tai Chi Sports, who will broadcast the fight for the open South American middleweight strap between Lucas Bryan Ariel Bastida, 12-1, 6 knockouts, and Gonzalo Andres Chaparro, 9-4-1, 5 KOs. Garland will showcase lightweight Nicolas Emiliano Paz, all in Camu Camu La Pampa, welterweight Geronimo Manuel Vasquez and Angel Dario Bolatti meet up. And we're going out to Brussels and Belgium. They'll host a bout for the open Benelux welterweight belt between 7-0 Anas Mousaoui and the 8-6-3 Cedric Paynhog. Also two venues in Nordrhein-Westfalen, Germany. First in Dorsen, you have Elias Mousaoui, 16-2, versus Anzor Ganzabelli, 22-29-3. That's a super middleweight clash, topping the bill. While in Ramsha, the finale is the Mukaihi Ozkan, 10-2, versus Samuel Zay. He's 2-1, a cruiserweight contest there. Also, Gelenjik, Russia. They win the night with the Andrei Tergoga versus Davao Kiryab in NFC Super Lightweight class, with the fighters making their pro debuts tonight. Anyway, we have the super middleweight matchup of the 6-0 Kai Huang and Tai Song Kyu 8-1, and that's the topper in Qingdao, China. And there we go, six countries, slowly getting back into the swing of things as the new year progresses, but slowly starting to see more and more action as we get into the new year or further away from the holidays. But yeah, some good ones tonight. The big fight, of course, Atlantic City, and then the Munguia fight down there on the zone in Texas.
Yeah. That's Hart and Smith fight in Atlantic City tonight. It should make to be a good one. You know, Jesse Hart is a fighter. Cyclone Hart, the great Cyclone Hart from Philadelphia, who's an absolute legend in Philadelphia boxing and in boxing, period. He said he's going to revenge a loss with Bernard Hopkins had against this guy. But, you know, it's funny. You know, Jesse Hart, he can fight and he can punch. The only problem that Jesse Hart has coming into matches, he doesn't be in real good shape. And when you're not in real good shape, Bob, it takes away your ability to punch, takes ability, your defensive moves that you make, and it allows you not to have the best performances. I hope Jesse Hart has went to the well and he learned some things from fights that he has before, and he's went back at the drawing board to get in better dynamite shape where he can display that boxing talent that he has. So this makes up for a good fight, Bob.
Yes, it sounds like a good one too. So that's going to be, like you said, back-to-back nights. Starting the new year off in Atlantic City, the two big networks, so they're very happy for Atlantic City, and we'll be back down there again, no doubt about it. Just couldn't make it. The strange things happen. But anyway, so that's good, and also the zone fight tonight too, at Munguia and O'Sullivan, and also that the big unification women's female super middleweight crown fight too between DAZN and Jimenez. So, yeah, good stuff, the way they started off the new year. And we mentioned there that DAZN, her only loss was to Shields in DAZN's debut. So she's coming along, too. So, you know, they're saying Clutch of Shields, like, I've nobody to fight yet. There's got to be girls coming up that are going to take her on. Especially when Katie Taylor or whatever happened. I don't know. Actually, probably going to be more of a breakers, I think, might happen for Shields next, because the weights would be easier to make a catch weight on that. So we'll see what happens, but... Yeah, Shields is there. Let's go. Who's next?
Well, they got some women fighting up in the garden for a big fight, and let's see, you know, maybe she can take them on. But, you know, 2020 looks like it's going to be very exciting for the matchups that people want to see. You know, you have Shakur Stevenson in March. He has a March 14th date. Defend his title. And then, you know, that's on March 14th. And coming back this way, we have Tyson Fury and Dante Wilder, Bob.
They have a press conference. They were saying no press conference. Now they have one scheduled this coming week for Los Angeles. So they are getting on the bandwagon. Plus, J-Rock, Jerome Williams, J-Rock. He's coming back, too, fighting in a couple weeks to defend his title. And you said that was one of the best fights you saw last year when Williams and Jared Hurd fight. So we'll look forward to seeing Julian Williams back in the ring too.
Oh, yeah. And don't forget, they're talking about maybe next week announcing Canelo Alvarez versus B.J. Sanders.
So that's
a fight that we had talked about before, Bob.
A long time ago.
But if that fight right there could come to fruition, boy, I think that would be something good, be
something great for the sport of boxing. I think it's going to be exciting. Billy Joe Sanders, he's like a Tyson Fury. He does great PR. You know, he's able, a good salesman, and he gets into some things outside the ring, but that's what keeps his name out there, and he's always able to battle back and get back in the position. You know,
right.
He has this never die attitude that gets him and propels him into big fights. And hopefully, you know, that they announce that fight next week, which is great for the sport of boxing with the DAZN. And then don't forget, you have Manny Pacquiao. He's out beating the drums. He's trying to get a Floyd Mayweather in the ring or Errol Spence. Somebody like that, you know. One thing about Manny Pacquiao, he does stay active among the top class of boxers. You know what I mean? He
don't care. Yeah.
Manny says, if you want to fight, come on, let's bring it on. But
his name's,
you know,
out there all the time. Yeah, keeps it out there. Still talking about the 40-something-year-old man.
Yeah.
You know, also wanted to I just wanted to mention quick too while we're rolling through. I'm speaking of Bob Arum. We just saw Josh Taylor, Tartan Tornado. You know, he was getting a lot of votes there for Fighter of the Year too. You know, with that impressive World Boxing Super Series win, and you know, the WBA IBF title holder now. You know, that's just something that he's going to, we're going to start seeing more of him with Bob Arum and ESPN and all that kind of stuff too. That's a signing that just happened. So not a lot of news, but that was just something of note, because there's a lot of people that looked at him as a candidate for Fighter of the Year.
Well, hey, look, everybody forgets about Terrence Crawford.
Right.
You know,
right.
Terrence Crawford, you know, here he is at the top of, you know, the pound for pound list, and he's talking about, well, how come nobody calls me out? You know? How come nobody calls me out? Well, guess what? Since nobody went to calling him out, he went to calling them out. So he said he'll fight Errol Spence or somebody like that. And Bob Arum said he's up for all of that, you know. So that's really, really something, because Terrence Crawford, he needs a big name, you know, underneath his belt, because them guys, you know, hate to say it, they talk about everybody else, but they don't want to talk about them too much.
I know, right?
It's amazing. You know, and the PR that he gets is like really, really nothing. You know what I'm saying? To compare what, you know, the type of fighter that he is. You know, he's a great fighter. He needs some great names to show how great he is, you know. What would Sugar Ray Leonard be without a Hagler, Hearns, and names like that, but Benitez? So he needs names like that where everybody knows that guys to have the name, they can fight on that level like him. And then when you go in, you would beat them or knock a joke out, as I all the time say, then you're the man. And that's what he's looking for. So people won't be saying, well, you didn't fight this guy. You ain't fight this guy with the name, or you ain't fight that. How are you pound for pound? Well, hey, look, he's calling them out. They got to step up to the plate. But like I all the time say, what gets guys to step up is that money. You know? Yeah, that money will make them do all kind of things that they may not want to do, but because of the money so good and great, who would have thought that Anthony Joshua and Luis fight would end up in Saudi Arabia, because the champion at the time, Luis, was saying he ain't doing it. He wasn't going. He wasn't doing it. They put that money. He said, well, I'm going to get it.
Thank you. Thank taking advantage of going inside your area.
yeah. That's what he said. I'm taking advantage of this, and I'm signing. You know, so that's what he did. He took advantage of it. You know, he may have lost the title, but he got a pocket full of money. So
yeah,
money
that's
that
good, right?
Get in So the stay with the heavyweights a little bit, Bob. You know, Joe Parker, who fought Anthony Joshua, he's saying, and he's talking the talk, that he says he can beat Usyk. You know,
he was
out pounding the drums this week, saying that he believes that he'll beat him. Now, isn't that something?
I know. So we also have whatever was going on with Joshua now, too. He's going to have to decide soon. I don't know when the deadline is, but, you know, it's either Pula or Usyk, but it looks like Usyk and this, you know, he was looking at Chisora, too. So it basically comes down to whatever, you know, they decide to do with Joshua's next fight, because it's going to have to be probably a mandatory one or the other.
Yeah, well, look, I'm like this, you know. When you're a heavyweight champion and you're a great fighter, like Muhammad Ali used to say, there's no easy fight. You're fighting for the heavyweight championship of the world. And
right.
If you don't think that's one of the biggest prizes in sports, don't be on the top of your game. And like he's seen in the last time, what seems so easy would be so difficult in terms of winning or losing. So You got it. When you're heavyweight champion, you got to stay up on the top of your game. Now, a guy maybe can fight one night the best that he can fight to become heavyweight champion of the world, but he becomes it. You know,
if you're a champion,
you all the time got to be on the money, and you all the time got to be great. And that's what makes legendary fighters, great fighters, such as, Manny Pacquiao, Floyd Mayweather, you know, they're able to stay up there and get up and down. And, you know, it's tough being on top of the mountain because everybody's trying to pull you off the top of that mountain. You know, you just need one bad night and there goes everything down the drain, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah. Just something. So, you know, Tyson Fury and Wilder were just happy that fight is back and it's
going
to happen.
It's actually going to happen.
Yeah, but
February 22nd, in Vegas. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, Bob Arum, who's handling Tyson Fury over here in the United States, you know, they're doing some PR stuff with Tyson Fury. You know, Tyson Fury was in Vegas doing some stuff, being himself, and Bob Arum was saying, "Well, Tyson Fury is he reminds me of so much of Muhammad Ali." That's what Bob Arum was saying this week. So, you know, Tyson Fury is a character, as I always say. he's a character. He's going to do something or say something in an event to get writers to write, if they want to write. Most of the time, these guys don't write, and that's what's with wrong with the sport of boxing. Here you got guys, they don't want to put the paper and the pen together to write stories about them. You know, Bob, just think about growing up, man. Stuff we used to read about Joe DiMaggio, Joe Louis, and, you know, just great legendary guys. It takes legendary writers who write this stuff up, Bob. And you read about these guys and you're saying, wow, what a guy. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
And
oh,
it
yeah.
keeps you interested in the sport, you know. There's not too many great writers like that around that can really, really hammer a story home about fighters. And so many promoters are looking for writers that can do that, you know, that can really write a story about a fighter that carries and transcends on not just when he's fighting, but it sticks to him, where people love the story. They picked up on some things about the person's life, and they want to, every time they hear or they talk about him, you know, they say, wow, this guy, he has this or that. You know, like a young Mike Tyson with the Custom Model, that storyline that was written about Mike Tyson and Custom Model was second to none, but it took good writers to write it and kept following up on it. And when you talk about Mike Tyson, people remember that, you know, that storyline that was created about Mike Tyson, and it propelled him. And that's what you need nowadays for these guys. Dante Wilder, they have to come up with something with him. He's a great puncher, and if Dante Wilder can whack Tyson Fury out, then there's a hell of a storyline that goes on that's in with it. You know what I mean?
Oh, absolutely.
Of the fight. But, you know, it's something that they have to create, or they're going to have to be able. Al Heyman, he's going to have to. Al Heyman's problem is he don't want to spend no PR money. He just want to sign the fighters and let them fight. That's it. But, you know, and if they catch on, if they do something big, it's all right. But he ain't going to put no other effort into these things like that. So.
Yeah, that's what we were saying. At first, you know, well, just a couple of weeks ago, they were talking no press. They were just going to go to a couple, like, football games and, you know, with the playoffs and stuff going on. It's like, what do you mean no press? Now, somehow they changed their mind, and they said we have the press conference coming up this week. But, yeah, we got to do something. Wilder needs to get his name. Like, this, for some reason, he didn't catch on yet. You know, I just don't understand it sometimes. He looks, and we reported these numbers before for the Wilder fights. And even when they do those preliminary shows, you know, with the after hours or whatever stuff, where they just check it in and all these other little preliminary things, were drawing great numbers, over a million. And he draws 275,000 pay-per-view buys and kind of just let the air right out of the tires, you know, pretty much.
Yeah, and, you know, Anthony Joshua is the key with the numbers that he did.
Yeah, 1.6 million for the rematch. You know, the highest pay per view. Well, in Sky TV history, that was their highest ever. And of course, it was also the highest of 2019 as well. The buys. Yeah. Plus, you know, you add that to the 1.8 million that the Zone release, and said that's what they got. So that we're talking about like close to 3.5 million, which are really good numbers.
Really good numbers, and the terms of finance and romance. That's why they got the $85 million. And
that's why you get $85 million when you bring that many eyeballs.
Yeah,
3.5 million people to watch your fight. You're getting 85. Yeah, you're worth the $85 million.
And Dante Wilder, you know, the return on the dollar is 20-some million dollars. What he did is $20 million, a lot of money. Yes, it's a lot of money, but it ain't the top line money when you got Anthony Joshua, who's who people are following, they like, that's doing $85 million. The difference. So when
that's
Anthony
a big
Joshua,
yeah,
when it comes to the negotiating table, that's why he's getting what he needs. You know, that's why he's at the table getting what he needs, Bob.
Right. Yes.
You know, it's just one of those things. He's getting $85, Dante Wilder. That's why you're getting what you're getting. You know. So looking down the line, if somehow, you know what I would do if I was Anthony Joshua? When you got big pockets like they got, they can go to the organization and ask the organization to ask the number one contender, you're paying. You don't have to pay taxes on the money. 50% of your tax go on the money anyway. Keep it business. Give them a couple million dollars to step aside out of the way to make the bigger fights happen. You know what I mean? Who
wouldn't take a couple $1 million, $1-2 million to sit on their butt for $2 million to wait and didn't have another opportunity to fight for the championship.
Right.
Shoot. You know, they got to put the thinking cap on, spread a little bit of that cheese around, man. Make the big ones happen. Make the big one happen with what everybody wants to see, the boxing fans. Make the boxing fans happy for once. Give them a couple $1 million. Tell the IBF here, we'll give you some. We'll give them some. And that's not buying your way. It's called creative business. There's nothing wrong with that, and it's not breaking no rules because he's getting paid for something that he ain't doing. It ain't breaking the rules, and it ain't a bribe. You know, you give them what's called step-aside money and sit on your butt and collect some dough. So, and then you'd still be in line, but the fans get to see the big fight. And ain't nothing wrong with that, man. After this fight, you either have a Tyson Fury or a Wilder in a unification match of the heavyweight division, what everybody wants to see. You know, the titles will be unified. You know what I mean?
Right.
Then
yeah.
If I was the number one contender, I would say, look, I done made a couple $1 million. I'm still in line to fight for the title. So what happens, the big fight happened, you know, bang. Now, instead of me having to fight all of these guys to fight for the unification, I got paid to sit on my butt while whoever wins, I get the chance to fight for the unification belt.
Right. Now you got all
for
the belts.
All of,
yeah,
yeah. Now all the money, and yeah. I got money to sit on my canister, you know, like that. I think, you know, that's the right way. That's the right moves to make, Bob.
Yeah.
I think.
Hey, speaking of other heavyweights, doing right, too. You know, here's a guy that he's still out there in limbo. We don't even know, but that's a name that, you know, just fading away, but he's one of those guys that I think he's been taking the money to sit down. He wants to fight, you know, so you get to a point where, you know, I can see White he's itching to get in there and fight somebody that, you know, get a title fight going. But he's waiting, too.
Yeah, I don't think he should wait too long. There's guys that can
fight.
Think a Michael Bounty Hunter or somebody that's in there. And there's another guy that they keep skipping over. They don't like to talk about the Bounty Hunter, you know?
Yeah.
Mike the Bounty Hunter, he's right in position to fight all these guys after fighting to a draw. Well, because that was elimination bout where them two guys have to fight again or have one of them fight Dillon White. Yeah, Povetkin and one of them fight Dillon White. I think Dillon White's a terrific matchup for Michael Hunter. I think that's a terrific matchup. You know, you got to be able to fight when you're in the top 10. Is because when you become champion, you're gonna have to fight everybody in the top 10 anyway. So why not beat a lot of them up before you get up there?
Yeah, on the way up. Yeah,
you get used to kicking rough. Yeah.
And there's a Pulev out there too. You know, that's the other guy, the IBF number one. Yeah, you know, talking about the Joshua fight, but Kubrat Pulev. Yeah, I'm not getting a lot of talk about. But he misbehaved when he was here last time too. Clearly, all and wrote him out of California on his butt. he was inappropriately acting there. But kind of gave himself a black mark. But again, but as a fighter, he's in the mix, indeed.
Yeah, well, now you're forgetting, you know, Big Baby Miller.
Is
fighting at the bit again. He's went out and sat down to talk with Bob Arum. They're trying to cut a deal to get him on the undercard of Dante Wilder and Tyson Fury. So, you know, Baby Miller undefeated. You know, did he go or will he pass the Clean Drug Act? Has he been through that program? You know,
Well, he has to sit there. He has to be the saddest chap in the world when he sat there and watched Ruiz beat Joshua the first time out. That was his fight, you know. And I can't imagine how that felt. That was Yeah, that doesn't make you feel too good. When you knew that was your shot and you watched somebody else win, you know, pull the upset.
Yeah. That was his fight. That was a big letdown, you know. But, hey, look, the promoter last night at his Shields fight has him too.
Dimitri Saluda, yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he has him too, and it looks like they're trying to take him over to Bob Arum, and he'd be a co-promoter of Miller with Top Rank, since they have Tyson Fury, you know?
Right.
You know, that would be interesting to look at. But the guy I would be biting at the bit at is an Anthony Joshua. I had the fight signed. Where to go? You know, even though you messed up, I'd see if I can come back around the block. But I guess Anthony Joshua might not want that ghost to haunt him again.
Right. You got, that's totally true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That ghost haunted him around the corner on that. But, you know,
yeah.
Miller at 23-0 with, I think he has a draw, if I'm mistaken. You know, he's something to look at in the heavyweight division. So we'll see as he fights the upper echelon of heavyweights. Hey, you know, maybe he can go down under and fight Joe. You know, that would be great. I think that would be a great matchup for Baby Miller. Go down under. Go down under.
Yeah. Well, Australia, though, man. Australia is getting devastated by the fires, though, man. You know, just pop that in there. Let everybody know. We're thinking of our friends down there, down under indeed. But, man, a lot of land burning in Australia.
Yeah, well, there's a whole lot. And down in New Zealand, they're saying that they're seeing the smoke of the after effects of the large fires that are down there. That might be why it's a little warming trend in the middle of winter here.
Right, well, there's a lot of stuff in the air down there. Yeah, the air quality is just deteriorating and everything. Just in these beautiful cities, and now it's just a black smoke. Yeah, pretty rough going.
Yeah, down under.
Down under, mate.
The thunder down under. Yeah. So, to get back to that Miller, you know, maybe they'll put him on that February 22nd fight at the MGM Grand. You know, who knows? Maybe, you know, maybe they can cut the deal, the money, you know, and you'll see, you know, another heavyweight that may be biting at the bit, you know, in the promotion. But look, I hope when it comes to the pay-per-view market, you know, Bob Arum is biting at $2 million. I don't think it's going to be $2 million sales for the bout. You know, it could happen if they put some PR behind it and put some of that marketing money behind it to get Tyson Fury's name out there and Deontay Wilder's spend some money on marketing. I think it may have the potential to do that for sales, but it's going to be tough.
Right.
I think they waited just a little too long, Bob.
For the rematch.
They had that interceding fight. You know, Tyson Fury had an off night. It really didn't look that good. And then Deontay Wilder went on to fight a rematch where people, they weren't really caring for that.
They didn't care about the rematch. Yeah, they didn't want to see it. They wanted to see it. And, you know, meanwhile, there's Tyson Fury doing the wrestling, too. Everything else. But he was good as day. He was great. He's keeping his name out there, you know.
But
he just got a whole bunch of wrestlers looking at him, you know. Go ahead.
Yeah, the kids, they bought that, the fans and wrestling fans paid to see him on
in wrestling, so that's a good thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's just cool. The most amazing thing I saw last year was that Marcus Stroman, that guy that he fought when the fight was over and all, this and that. But Stroman came out and actually picked up Tyson Fury and body slammed him. you can't even imagine, you know, picking up Tyson Fury and body slamming him. With his Stroman. Well, he's one of those little strongmans in all that competition. He carries telephone poles on his back, you know. So anyway, Fury knows how to keep his name out there, that's for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. He's
because yeah. So those numbers will be interesting when they come in to see. Well, you know, are they Tyson Fury numbers or are they Dante Wilder's numbers? You know,
he's
not tuning in Fury. Well, hey, it's part of his game too. You know, so however, I'm sure Bob Arum doesn't care how he gets the 2 million. He just made the 2 million views.
Yeah, well, he's a great promoter, you know. He already knows how to do it, and it's the thing of it. Does he want to do it? Does he want to spend the money to do it? He knows how to do it. Will he spend the money? Will he put the money up to get the return, Bob? Get the return,
right,
Bob. You got something in Tyson Fury. You know, he's a salesman. You know, they got to put him out there. You know, it'll pay off in the box office. But let me tell you, Bob, who we really haven't heard nothing, you know, over the holidays, just a little bit of something. But Money Mayweather, man, you know, he had a little talk on that he may fight Pacquiao over in Saudi Arabia. You know, they're offering him $100 million, but he's really lying cool in retirement. Normally you see him screaming all kind of things, you know, I want this guy, I want that guy, you know, we'll do this deal, that deal, you know, but you really haven't heard that from him.
Well, because he was talking even that he wanted to keep doing a lot of these little exhibition things like he did last year, you know, with the kickboxers and stuff like that that's going in and whatever challenges he puts up against himself, but he'll keep his name out there. Now, like you say, it sounds like he started to settle into a little retirement there. But,
yeah.
You know, $100 million will make you come out of retirement, though, too.
Oh, ain't no question. Like I tell you, the money man, if the money talk is right, and when they're talking about money, he'll find a way to get it.
Right.
If the money talk is real, he... Say what you want about Money Man. He knows how to put it together to get that money, baby. And he don't miss a beat, does he?
No, not at all. Yeah, but that's he knows how to promote, and you know, and knows what to say, when to say, and how to play the game, and he does it better than anybody. You know, just look at the results. You said.
Yeah, I think the people will enjoy him over in Saudi Arabia. Hey,
oh,
well,
yeah.
Hey, look, they're talking about the money. Shoot, you get the money, man. The return on your money is going to be something because he'll bring them out. You know, Money Man will come up with another gimmick or something like that. Some talk to get people interested. You know, that's the Money Man, baby. He brings the money.
Yeah.
You got to bring the money when you're talking to the Money Man. You bring the money to the Money Man. You know?
Exactly.
You know? Yeah, the Money Man, he got it down pat, but you know, to keep him out there. But it's great to see another fight, Bob, this evening in Atlantic City, on major network with ESPN. You know, Hart and Smith Jr., it shouldn't match up to the bill tonight. I think this fight is going to be a barn burner.
Yeah, you know, the beautiful thing, too, when you look at these fights a couple months back, you're looking at the dates like January 10th and 11th, and you're like, man, you know, hopefully they're not, you know, snowed in and the sub-freezing temperatures were, you know, as I said, I was planning on going down. My friends I was going to stay with, to talk with him and It's 60 degrees down there, you know what I mean, at the shore right now. Today, so you're going to be walking on that boardwalk like it's April. You know, it's the middle of January.
Yeah.
And you know,
yeah.
So the weather played a lot. So can you know, if you have snow all over the place, who's traveling maybe, you know, the Philly run or the New York City run down there to catch the flight to Atlantic City, you know, but they're having wonderful weather for the whole weekend, too. You know, I want to get people to travel and go to Atlantic City.
Yeah,
it looked like we said, pretty nice crowd last night at the fight, yeah. I don't think
yeah.
it was quite snowed out, but there weren't many seats left.
Yeah, that's good. You know what I'm interested in to look at? What the viewership was for that Carissa Shields fight.
Yeah, we'll look for that this week, yeah.
Yeah. If we can get those numbers, we'll see how she's doing. And, you know, we understand that, you know, it's women's boxing is starting to come around. It's not where men's boxing. So you got to have a little flexibility until, you know, they really get it going. But this is one of the better fights that you've seen in a long time for women's boxing. You know,
yeah, she just keeps making history, you know, from the Hammer fight last year. So, you know, Carissa, she was getting her name in the Atlantic City books, too, you know, as far as just having great fights down there.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, with last night, the hype that was leading up to the fight was good.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah, but, you know, Carissa Shields used a thumping left jab. She used a overhand right and a body shot that she used to take her on to victory. You know, but she looks so strong in the ring, Bob.
Yeah.
She really does. I don't know if she's lifting weights or something, but she really looks strong.
She really
looks strong.
Yeah.
And you could see, you know, her amateur experience from fighting in the amateurs and stuff like that on a high level. It shows up. The amateur experience that she has inside the ring. But last night was a classic matchup. You know, Bashir, you know, he's still recovering. He didn't work the corner. Seen him there in the ring with her. And I think that might have been a little telling tale, you know, of what's going on, you know. If he would have had the opportunity to be over there with her when she was training and train her and had her ready, like he wanted to have her ready, I think we would have seen a better fight. But it didn't happen. And hats off to the Ivis. She put up a gallant fight last night because you only can give what you got that night, you know. And
right,
she did not get knocked down, and she got up and she made a go at it again and end up taking the fight the distance. And, you know, maybe she can come back at the drawing board and come back around the block, get a new plan, go fight some people, go win some belts, and come back at it and say that was
good. Yeah, she's had a belt.
After.
She's won before. She was welterweight champion. You know, so, right, she was moving up, actually, where, of course, she was moved down.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, she's not done. We'll see Habazine again. And who knows, maybe she will land another one. Remember, Becca, we had her on 2 years ago. She was talking about Bakers. That's who she had on the radar. And then Shields made her move and became the opponent. But, you know, it could be even that the Cecilia Bakers fight for her somewhere down the road. We'll see how it all plays out. But, yeah, women's boxing would be exciting. We can guarantee that for 2020.
Yeah, and even Kelly... Taylor.
Katie Taylor. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Amanda Serrano, too. We can't forget her. She was 7th division champion. Took her to fight whatever way you want. Good woman, yeah. Let's go.
Yeah.
But that's amazing when you think about that, too. You know, 7 different weight classes. That's amazing.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And you had a chance to meet her right at the Ring 8. She was at the Ring 8 on too.
Yeah, she was. Yeah, she
right.
was.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, we had a chance, an opportunity to meet her, talk to her, and everything. But you know, that's what it's all about. Let's see if Carissa Shields can collect all the belts.
Yeah, she's all of them. She wants every division belt. She wants all of them.
Yeah,
like 30 of them.
Yeah, she might have. Yeah, let's see if she can fight at different catch weights and stuff like that, and see if she can get all the belts. She said she's the greatest of all times. Well, you got to do. Last night was the start, so she moved up another division. Let's see if you can get something else somewhere else. Just go collect all the belts. You know?
Yeah, let's be wrong with that. Put it that way, yeah.
You
got a good head start.
Yeah, she's definitely on her way, Bob. She's definitely on her way. And hats off to her and congratulations again for, you know, with all of that, pulling yourself back together and going back in there and giving the people what they want. And that is a good fight. And I'm glad it didn't go like an early knockout or something. You know, you need good competitive fights where they see a young lady trying to make different things happen, fighting. You know what I mean? Trying to make it happen. But as always, there's always one thing in boxing. You know, you may think a thing and try a thing, but the other guy has something to do whether you could pull the thing off or not. And last night, she couldn't pull it off against Carissa Shields last night. Carissa Shields was on the top of her game. She dominated every round. So,
right from the start, yeah.
Right
came
from the
out.
Start. Yeah.
Yeah. Boom. Yeah.
Right from the start. So, advantage, she has nothing to be ashamed of, you know. Now, the question is, that was on Showtime. Tonight on ESPN, can Jesse Hart and Smith Jr., can they match up to the billing? And can they match up to the hype? You know, that's the question. It's because now not only fighters are fighting, but the networks. When you have back-to-back networks, they want to see who draws the better ratings, who had the better fighters, you know. And it all
right.
matches in the box office the dollars and cents, Bob. So if ESPN fights, these guys can really put on a show and have people stay tuned on that network, ESPN, tonight for Hart and Smith to see if they can outdo the girls. You know, and I hate to see the girls, man. To see if they can outdo the fight that happened on Friday night. You know, things ain't never going to change if we keep using that comparison, Bob. You know, I just they're fighters. Let's say the fight that happened last night. That's how things change. You know what I mean?
Right, the fight, yeah.
Yeah, the fight. You know, the fight that happened last night, you know.
Right.
To see if they can have the better ratings. If they get the better ratings, if Carissa Shields has the better ratings on this fight that tonight, it's, you know, wow.
Right. You know, ESPN, it is the regular cable. It's not the stream or anything. So, you know, take that, the Showtime subscription service versus, you know, ESPN, just the cable station, you know, we'll see. They'll make adjustments. I mean, the numbers will probably be higher, but you just have to see what kind of disparity there is between the two because, again, you know, people paying for Showtime, whereas it's part of your cable bill, you know.
Yeah.
But, yeah, that's part of it, too. So it is a straight. But it's coming on late. I believe it's not on until 10 o'clock. It's the only show in the last couple fights. But still, you know, this is the interest in the compare. So, yeah, we'll definitely look for the numbers during the course of this week for next week.
Right.
And, yeah. We run out of time.
Yeah. Hey, look, we got 30 seconds in closing.
First of all, I just want to say quick, the Tommy dog, she had a stroke, a friend who was on her show, just went to wish her the best. Indeed.
Yeah. She was sick. We want to hope that she has a speedy recovery and everything like that.
Yeah, thinking about her, yeah.
Yeah, but our hats off to Henry Hathcock.
in the New Jersey right. Boxing Hall of Fame for taking all those kids down to
absolutely
the fight last night. We could hear them screaming. We can hear them shouting, them grandchildren, all them. We'd like to thank you for tuning in to World Boxing Review. My name is Aaron Snow. They call me the Hall of Fame Trainer Champion. And our radio aficionado, Bob Murray, taking us on another magic carpet ride. Thank you. Same time next week.
All right. Thanks again. See you later. Bye-bye.